We're going to continue in this series that we started last week, talking about doubt and just how doubt comes up in everybody's life. We all encounter it in one way or another. And today we're going to be talking about doubt in a very familiar passage of Scripture, most of you are very familiar with. But we're going to talk about it, and I've entitled today's sermon, Doubts in the Storms of Life. Now, I don't know about you, but I really do have this fascination with storms. I like to watch weather. I just do. I have an app on my phone, and I follow it. I follow the radar and see what it's going. And there's just different things that just really fascinate me. I find it interesting to see how storms formulate and how meteorologists track them and they predict them. And sometimes they're really pretty close. Confession, I'm the guy who's always hoping for the big snowstorm. So like days like today when it's cold and snowy, I love it. I just do. Most of you don't like that, and you're sitting there going, what a scoundrel. But I do. I like that kind of weather. It's just, if it's going to be cold, we might as well have snow. That's my philosophy on it. I don't like blizzards, but almost, okay? So if it's cold, let it be snow. A blanket of snow. It's just beautiful. And I know there's a lot of headaches with it. I know that when it snows, you got to get out and you got to shovel the driveway and shovel the walks and put salt down everywhere. And then you track it in the garage, you track it in your house. There's always a mess that goes along with it. But before you get all worked up about all that stuff, just take a moment and look at how beautiful it is. It's absolutely beautiful. It's peaceful. It's quiet. It's great when you go hunting. It just brings the volume down. Just some great stuff about that kind of weather. Now, there are some storms I don't like at all. I don't like hurricanes. I don't like tornadoes. I don't like the devastation they bring. I don't like the way they immediately interrupt a family's life, or the way they infringe on a community's economy, or the way they snatch life from us without any warning at all. No, some storms I just don't like. Like the tornado in Joplin. Some of you in this room, you went with us. There was a crew who went down, and we helped after the devastating tornado that tore through Joplin years ago. Don't like that. Complete obliteration of that town, of that community. Lost lives. I mean, the hospital was moved off its foundation. It was just terrible. Don't like those things. However, some storms are necessary. Some are necessary for life to begin or to continue, like the gentle rains that come in May and June that bring the needed water to crops and gardens and lakes and rivers and streams. We need those for life to keep going. Like the smell of a thunderstorm brewing in the distance. I love that. You can smell it coming. You know what I'm talking about, right? You've been out and you can smell that thunderstorm coming. I hope it's a thunderstorm you smell coming. Who knows, But something I've noticed about snowstorms, hurricanes, tornadoes, blizzards, even rainstorms, and that's this. I have absolutely zero control over any of them. I can't control when they come. I can't control when they leave. I can't control how intense they are. I can't control where they go. Now, the only thing I can control is what I do during those storms. What are my actions when those storms brew? I remember back in May of 2004, my wife Kelly and I, we lived in Lincoln, and she had a few friends over for my birthday, and we were living, like I said, down in Lincoln, Illinois at the time, and there was a flurry of tornadoes that started tearing through the area over in the Atlanta, Illinois area, about 10 miles away from us. And I remember all of us guys, we ran outside. You know, that's how smart we are. Tornadoes all around. We run outside. We're looking up at the sky. We're watching just like kids in a toy store, you know. And we're just watching, fascinated by these tornadoes. I loved watching them just start to come together and develop, and just how they touch down. Hoping nobody got hurt, but it's just really cool to see how the sky turns and those twisters develop and all that stuff. You know, it wasn't one of my brighter moments in life. Not that I've had too many, but that really wasn't one of them. But I intentionally found myself outside because I was intrigued and in danger because I wanted to watch. Y'all remember back in 2012? We had that blizzard that came through, dropped about 20 inches of snow overnight. Dan Oakley, who is the superintendent up at Little Swan, used to attend here at Maple Avenue. And many of you know Dan and his wife Beth. But he called and asked if Kelly and I had room for some kids to stay because the state police had closed the road going up to Little Swan. They had kids over in Rushville. They were coming back. They couldn't get through, couldn't get them home. And we said, sure, you know, let them stay. We'll let them stay at our house. And that's what happened. The bus driver dropped them off. Now, the bus driver was smart. He dropped the kids off, and he went to his sister's house in Macomb. Wasn't going to stay in the house with us with all these kids that we had no idea who they were. But anyway, we got through that storm. But Dan and the bus driver, they did something really smart. They took shelter. They put those kids in a safe place. You know, life also produces storms. Life produces all kinds of storms. Sometimes they're gentle rainstorms that nurture us and grow us. Sometimes they're snowstorms that blanket and smother us. Sometimes they're hurricanes and tornadoes that completely obliterate a family. They tear a community apart. Sometimes they can destroy a life. And like regular storms, we can't control them. But we can control how we respond to them. How do we make it through these storms? I believe we make it through these storms the same way Dan and that bus driver did, not me and my friends. But we seek shelter during the storms of life. We need to seek shelter in Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to a very short passage in Matthew chapter 8, 23 through 27. And if you would you stand with me as we read God's Word? I'll read it, and I want to invite you to follow along with me. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Then he, Jesus, got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples, they went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us! We're going to drown! And he replied, this isn't what you would expect, is it? But he says, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? I can imagine. Look at that squall out there. Look at this wind coming. Look at these waves. They're flooding us. They're crashing over us. Why are you so afraid? Look. Then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. You can have a seat. What kind of man is this? I mean, he's just raised from the dead. He's healed many. He has fed thousands. I mean, he talks about the cost of discipleship. What kind of man is this indeed? The first thing I notice out of this whole passage is this, the very first thing, and that's this. Obedience doesn't keep us from storms. Obedience does not keep us from storms. And I hope you can remember that today. Hope you can remember that through the rest of your life. Your obedience to God doesn't keep you from storms. Your obedience to Christ does not keep you from storms. The disciples, you know what they did? They obediently got into the boat with Jesus. They set sail with him. They obeyed him. They followed him. They got into the boat. Matthew says they followed Jesus into the boat. So they get into this boat at night, and they take off across the sea. In their obedience to Jesus, the disciples set sail straight into the teeth of a storm. They were being obedient. Well, God, if I'm being obedient, why am I going through these storms in life? Obedience doesn't keep us from storms. Folks, following Jesus doesn't mean you will never have to face storms in your life. Sometimes it will be smooth sailing, and at other times the waves will crash over the bow. They're going to rock the boat. Some days will feel like you're relaxing on a beach, like some of our friends down there in Florida right now, sending us pictures saying it's 80 degrees. How dare they? But they're doing that. Some days it feels like that, and other days it feels like you're in quicksand. The disciples were following Jesus. I mean, they were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. Following the Messiah obediently. They didn't complain. They got into the boat. They sailed right into this terrifying storm. Remember, a lot of these men, they were fishermen. I mean, they spent their life out on the open sea. They were used to this. So this must have been one whopper of a storm coming at them for them to say, oh my, look at this. I mean, this is a big deal. That's one of the things I think sometimes we forget about. These are men who are trained on the open waters. They're fishermen. They're on the sea, and they're scared of this storm. I mean, imagine the magnitude of something that's going to scare these guys who are used to this. And here's Jesus just sleeping away. The disciples discovered what many of us already know. Just because you're living obediently to God doesn't mean you won't find yourself in the middle of a storm of life. You will. It's inevitable. So here are some things that we can keep in mind as we go through storms of life, because I can guarantee you that in this room today, there are people going through storms. There are people who have just come out of storms, and there are people getting ready to go into one. So this applies to every person in this room. The first thing we have to do is we have to keep an eternal perspective. Keep an eternal perspective. Don't get blindsided by all the peripheral of this world, this temporal world. Keep an eternal perspective. As Christians, we should have an eternal perspective. The Apostle Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. He said, "Therefore, we do not lose heart." He's certain about this. Don't lose heart. Don't get rattled. Don't have doubt. Just work through this. "Though outwardly," he says, "we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles," so the things going on in this temporal world, all the things that aggravate us and get under our skin and drive us nuts and we bicker and get petty about, all those things, the light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. What he's saying is, if you listen to it, he's saying, you're going to have to go through storms. It's your eternal glory. You're going to have to go through storms while you're on this earth. But at least it's eternal glory that far outweighs all the troubles of this world. Verse 18, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So all the stuff that distracts us, all the storms going on around us, the lightning flashes over here, the rumbling thunder over there, the rain clouds behind us, they're momentary. Keep an eternal perspective. There's that old saying, when life throws you lemons, what do? Make lemonade. We all know that, right? Keep an eternal perspective. Life's going to throw you lemons. We're going to have a reward someday, and it will be glorious. So don't be blinded by the storms you're in or have experienced. Keep an eternal perspective. Next, remember this, okay? Remember, God's working for your good. I hope that can encourage you today. God is working for your good. Now, it may not seem like it. It may seem like, man, how is God working for my good in all this? But God is working for your good. Remember what Romans 8:28 says. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, "And we know that in all things, good things, bad things, all things, trying things, glorious things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." When we're living in the purpose of God, when we're honoring him with our lives, God's working for the good. Even though it seems like everything around us is falling apart, distracting us. Think back to the Old Testament with me, if you will. One of my favorite characters in the Old Testament is Joseph. I love his life story. He was innocent of wrongdoing, but his brothers overtook him. They threw him in a well. They sold him into slavery. He served in Potiphar's home. He was accused of sexual advancements on Potiphar's wife, and he was innocent in it all. Finally, he endured all the horrific storms of life, and he was able to see God's good plan in all of it. No matter what he went through, he was able to see God's plan in all of it. Listen to how Joseph summarized all the storms he had been through, and hopefully this is what you and I can do, because we're going to go through storms. But let's have the attitude of Joseph, okay? Remember, God's working for our good. Joseph said this in Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 through 21. If you want to turn over there, go ahead. All right, it's good to be in God's word. It's good to flip back and forth, get in there. Genesis 50, 19 through 21. "But Joseph said to them," now he's talking to his brothers, "he said to them, 'Don't be afraid. I'm in the place of God.'" Oh, no, he said, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? He said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Even though he was going through storms of life, he remembered that God was working for his good. I want you to remember as you go through whatever storm you're going through, that God is working for your good. Next, keep obediently following Jesus. Keep obediently following Jesus. Remember at the beginning I said, hey, obedience isn't going to keep you from going through storms. But when you're going through storms, what we need to remember is to keep obediently following Jesus, no matter what the storm is. Jesus was the only truly righteous person to really walk upon this earth, yet he suffered more than we can imagine. We are to follow in his footsteps. I love the way 1 Peter chapter 2 puts it. Turn over there if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. Now what we have to remember is Peter is the disciple who betrayed Jesus, right? Three times. Denied him. Ignored him. Jesus went to him after his resurrection. He had a conversation with Peter and he said, hey, come back. I want you leading my church. Peter is the one who said, oh, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. You're the living Christ. And then in the next breath, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You don't have the things of God in mind, but the things of the world. Peter had a really intimate relationship with Jesus. Really intimate. And Jesus, being the perfect person he was, he called Peter on his stuff sometimes. And so Peter writes this, I think, from all these experiences. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, Peter wrote this. How is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? Now, parents, feel free to use that with your kids, okay? How is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? Listen, I'm kidding, okay? Don't walk out of here taking that, okay? I'm totally kidding. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. If you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. Verse 21, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you. Now hang with me. We're going to get to this. And you're just saying, okay, so this is what you're called to. The suffering, these storms of life, this is what you're called to because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. The world's not going to judge you justly. The world's going to put some kind of spin on it. They're going to see things the way they want to see things. Jesus is no stranger to any of the pain that you and I have ever encountered. So keep obediently following him. He really understands. Romans 5:8 declares this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, despite the sinful nature of the people of this world, God still loves us. Jesus loved us enough to die to take the penalty for our sin. If we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we will be forgiven and promised an eternal home in heaven. Keep that eternal perspective. How? By obediently following Christ, even through the storms. God allows us to go through storms. You know that? I believe God allows us to go through storms for different reasons. Whether or not we understand his reasons, we must remember that God is good. God is just, God is loving, he's merciful, he's gracious, he's all those things. And we will go through storms that we simply cannot understand. And so instead of doubting God's goodness and his love and his grace on our lives, our reaction should be to trust him and to remain obedient to Jesus, to keep following obediently after Christ. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. You guys know this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Don't get distracted by the waves crashing over the bow. Remain obedient and stay the course. Keep obediently following Jesus, because obedience doesn't keep us from the storms, but we have to obediently keep following Christ as we go through those storms. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people think when they are going through a storm of life that God has withdrawn, or that God is withholding his blessing on them, and they're being punished. So the next thing, the next big thing I want us to all understand is this, okay? Storms don't mean God is punishing you. Storms don't mean God is punishing you. Y'all know as well as I do that there's a false teaching going on all around us, has been for centuries. Preachers, televangelists, celebrity Christian authors who espouse this idea that if you're being obedient to God and if you're living in God's will, then you will never have to encounter difficulties. You'll never have to encounter storms of life. That's just a bunch of hooey, and I wish people would quit saying that. Because I think it gives people this false sense of what God's love is, what his grace is for us in this world. It's a lie straight from the depths of hell. And the reason is to try and shake our faith and cause us to doubt God's grace over our lives. This idea wasn't true for Jesus, and it isn't true for Jesus' followers, okay? Following Jesus doesn't keep us from naturally going through storms that are brewing up. We're going to go through them. What it does do is it allows us to seek shelter from the storm. We can put our trust, our hope, our faith in Christ. That's how we seek shelter from the storm. God has a purpose for pain. And while we're going through that pain, sometimes it's really hard to understand that he has a purpose for it. God has a purpose for storms. And sometimes it's really hard to see what the purpose is. He doesn't always reveal it when we want him to. In some cases, we won't discover what it is until we get to heaven. And we can totally understand everything the way God has intended it. But he has promised us that if we love him, he will use the good, the bad, the stormy winds for our good. His glory and the advancement of the kingdom is what we're all about. So here are some purposes, maybe, for the storms that you're going through, just to try and help us understand why we have to go through these storms. One purpose for storms in our lives is this: they have a cleansing effect. Storms have a cleansing effect in nature and spiritually. Just like hurricanes, they come in, they break up red tide and other ocean bacteria. Storms in our life can cleanse us because of our own flesh, our own nature, and the self-absorbed world we live in. It's easy to develop selfish attitudes and mixed up priorities and ungodly habits. The pressures that bear down on us from stormy situations are meant to bring all these impurities to our attention and direct us to a place of repentance. Our trials are intended to purify and guide us back to godliness, not ruin our lives. That's not why they're there. Paul reminds the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. Now, this one particular thing that I'm talking, this one purpose, this may not apply to every storm you go through, but it can apply to some of the storms that some of us are going through, okay? But Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, Paul told the church there in Ephesus, he said this, he said, "You were taught," that means somebody gave them instruction, okay? "You were taught with regard to your former way of life." So somebody pointed out the way they used to live, and he said, "Hey, stop doing it." And the way Paul put it is to put off your old self, to disrobe from the flesh, is what he's saying, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Verse 23 says, "So that you can be made new in the attitude of your mind." Okay? Some of us fake it and we do good actions, but we have a terrible attitude in our mind. We may even smile as we're doing some of the crummiest jobs, but what's the attitude in the mind? Are we doing it for His glory, or are we doing it so that people will leave us alone? Are we doing it so people will praise us? What's the attitude of the mind? And to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This is what Paul wants for the people in Ephesus. This is what Jesus wants for the people at Maple Avenue. This is what He wants for all of us. So let the storms have their cleansing effect on your life. Whatever you're going through, maybe there's something you need to repent of. It doesn't mean you're being punished, but maybe your actions have caused that storm to brew. Or maybe not. A second reason for storms is this: to develop compassion and bring comfort to others. How does a storm in my life help develop compassion and bring comfort to others? I'm glad you asked. God works in our lives in ways that are not intended solely for us. Okay? There are things that go on in our life that are not intended solely for us. Some things that we go through are designed to reach a world that does not recognize or acknowledge Him. The Lord uses our challenges to equip us for serving others. As we go through life and we experience suffering, we learn about God's sufficiency. We learn about compassion, His comforting presence, and His strength to help us endure all those things we go through. They teach us that we can be compassionate towards others, that we can comfort others. Our testimony during times of difficulty will be authentic when we suffer. Those to whom we minister to will recognize we know and understand their pain. What credibility would we have with people in crisis if we never experienced a deep need? How, it's hard to relate to what other people are going through if life's just a bed of roses. So God allows us to go through storms so we can be compassionate and so we can bring comfort to others. I want to encourage you to think about storms from your past or storms you're going through now. And think about how God, and ask God to reveal to you how you can use that storm to bless somebody else, to show compassion to somebody else, to come alongside and encourage and bring comfort to somebody else's life. One final thought on the purpose of storms is that we go through these storms so that we have an awareness of His presence. We have an awareness of His presence. We may not sense Jesus' presence during a crisis, but He has promised to always be with us. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, verse 6, it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them," the real enemy that was out there before the Israelites, "for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And I hope that you find great encouragement in that verse this morning. Whether you're at home or you're watching here in this room, I want to encourage you to proclaim that awesome promise from God. I want you to say it with me, all right? The Lord will never leave me and the Lord will never forsake me. I want you to say that with me in just a minute. I don't know what storm you're going through today. I don't know what you're encountering. But I'm sure some of us are in the middle of a storm. Maybe some of you just finished going through a storm. And others of us, maybe there's one brewing on the horizon. We see it coming. Well, you know what's getting ready to happen. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be divorce or separation. It could be the loss of a job. It could be anxiety over relationships. But listen, no matter what the storm is, I want you to proclaim this today. The Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. Say that with me. Just stand up and let's say that together. If you can stand, let's say that. Seriously, stand up. Let's wake up. Let's get engaged here. Say this: "The Lord will never leave me nor forsake me." Say it again. Okay, you can have a seat. I hope that you will proclaim that this week. I hope that no matter what goes on in your life this week, that you'll come back to that statement. The Lord's not going to leave me, and the Lord's not going to forsake me. I don't care, Satan, bring it on. You're not going to overcome me. Because he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. The Lord will never leave me. The Lord will never forsake me. Because Satan's going to come at you. There's going to be storms. They're going to rock your boat. They're going to scare you to death. But the Lord will never leave you. And the Lord will never forsake you. No matter how difficult they are. And I hope and I pray that you'll make that a part of your life this week and you'll just keep going back to that. No one enjoys suffering. But in the hands of Almighty God, trials can become tools. He uses hardship to shape believers into the people he intends them to be. Jesus allowed the disciples to experience the fear and anxiety of being in a boat on a raging sea. He permitted them to suffer because he had something far more important to teach them. He wanted the disciples to recognize their own helplessness, his sufficiency, and their dependence on him. You see, he was right there, right in their presence, resting away, waiting for them to draw near to him, waiting for them to call on him. He had it. All they had to do was seek shelter in him. I want to encourage you to do something else this week. Ask God to reveal his abiding presence to you in the midst of your trouble. Whatever you're going through, whatever storm, ask God to reveal his abiding presence with you. And remember, he always provides for your spiritual needs. He always provides to help you both endure and to grow stronger in your Christian faith. Now I want to wrap this up this morning with this question. Just a simple question. How are you going to weather the storm? You're going to go through a storm. You're in a storm, or you've been in one. How will you weather the storm? Are you going to be like me and my idiot friends who run out to watch tornadoes just 10 miles away? I hope not. Are you going to be like Dan Oakley and the bus driver and take kids to a place of shelter? How will you weather the storms? Are you going to be exposed to the elements or are you going to be sheltered in Jesus? Will you be exposed to the elements or be sheltered in Jesus? Go back to the scene with me in our passage this morning. An exhausted Jesus, sleeping in a fishing boat, crossing the Sea of Galilee at night. A furious storm comes up, nearly swamps the boat. The disciples wake up, and then they wake up Jesus by saying, "Lord, save us, we're perishing, we're going down." His reply was to get up and to rebuke. He rebuked the winds and the waves with the command, "Peace, be still." And it was so. Peace. Be still. Sometimes what we need to practice is just that. Sometimes we need to experience the peace of God and just be still. Let his grace and his love, his mercy, his strength wash over us. Peace. Be still. Complete calm descended upon the lake. And then he turns to his disciples and he rebukes them as well. Why are you so afraid? Maybe that's a question we ought to ask ourselves as we're going through the storms of life. Why am I so afraid? Why do we fear when those things come about? Why do we doubt when those things come about? Jesus asked his disciples this question, honest question. Do you still have no faith? You can hear it, right? Do you still doubt? They'd seen numerous miracles. miracles of healing sicknesses and demon possession and all diseases. And by now, you'd think they would have faith. What's wrong with these thick-headed numbskulls? Why can't they have this faith? Well, before we go there, let's not be too harsh on the disciples, okay? You and I have eyewitness account that Jesus raised from the dead, and we still doubt at times, right? Jesus expected them to have more faith by this time in his ministry, but they didn't yet appreciate who he really was. Who is this man? Even though they called out to him as Lord, they kind of doubted. This week, I want to encourage you to take some time and think of times in your life when you've acted like the disciples in this situation. Not to shame, my goodness, no. But to grow. To enrich that relationship. To find an area maybe where there's some weakness and you go, okay, this is an area where I need to expand and grow in. Storms are all around you. Waves are collapsing on the boat. You're drenched in the overspray. You're exposed to the elements. And Jesus, he's right there waiting for you to call out to him. How many times do we forget to call out to him? The calming of the storm terrified and amazed the disciples. They whispered to each other, "Who is this?" Even the winds and waves obey him. How quickly we forget, and how unimpressed we can be at times with the power of Jesus. Jesus provided the miracle of granting peace in the storm to show the disciples the power he possessed as the Son of God. He was Lord over all that he had created. The disciples would need this lesson of Jesus' strength and power as they moved towards the storms of their life that lay just in front of them. Listen, if you don't take anything else from our time together today, I really want to encourage you to wrestle with this one question this week, okay? What lesson is Jesus trying to teach you in your present storm? What lesson is Jesus trying to teach you in your present storm? Are you leaving yourself exposed to the elements, or are you really seeking shelter in Jesus? Listen, whether you follow Jesus or not, life will brew up storms. They're going to come. Now you can choose to either go through those storms completely on your own or in him. You can choose to find shelter in Jesus and experience him during those storms, or ignore him and the shelter he provides. But the point is, it's really your choice. It's really your choice. And so my hope and prayer is that as you face the storms of life, and you will face them, no getting around them, that you'll find shelter in Jesus. Focus on the promise of Jesus' protection rather than focusing on the problem. If you focus too much on the problem, you'll lose focus on the protection. You'll lose focus on his shelter. So wipe your goggles off, fix your eyes on Jesus and his word, and he'll bring peace and he'll bring calm to the storms that you're facing in your life. Storms won't go away, but you can experience his peace during the storms as you shelter in him. Would you stand and pray with me and put your mask back on, please? Father, we thank you for the promise we have in you. We thank you that you don't leave us to try and get through the storms of life on our own, but that in your grace and mercy and compassion, you provide us with shelter. Shelter we desperately need in order to weather the storms that come our way.
So, Father, help us, each and every one, whether we have that relationship with you or not, I pray that we would each one learn and grow to trust in you. And if we don't have that relationship, that's the first step. If there's somebody here today that needs to talk about having a relationship with Jesus, God, I pray that that they would do so. They'd reach out to us this week in the office. They'd stop one of our elders. They would do something and have that conversation. If you're going through a storm, folks, this week, and you need to talk, call us. Let's lean on each other. Doesn't have to be a preacher or a worship minister or anybody like that that prays for you. It can be your small group leader. Just go to folks. It can be the person you're sitting beside today. But God, help us to each one turn to you, trust in you, and abide in you. We do pray all this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.